This message is brought to you by Nuveen. Nuveen has provided investment excellence for 125 years with expertise across income and alternatives. Nuveen continues to expand its capabilities while maintaining its legacy as a leading investment manager. Visit Nuveen.com to learn more. Investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, April 5th. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal. A college education is one of the biggest expenses a household will ever take on. Fortunately, there are tax deductions and other benefits that can soften the financial blow. But the rules surrounding those college-related benefits can be tricky.
So that's an actually really frustrating point for some families. In many cases, institutional or private scholarships and grants aren't going to count as taxable income, but there are stipulations.
On today's show, we'll take a look at some of those terms with WSJ contributor Cheryl Winokur-Monk. Plus, we'll get an update on the student loan payment suspension that's set to expire at the end of the month. That's after the break.
This message is brought to you by Nuveen. Nuveen has provided investment excellence for 125 years with expertise across income and alternatives. Nuveen continues to expand its capabilities while maintaining its legacy as a leading investment manager. Visit Nuveen.com to learn more. Investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible.
Families of college students may be in line for tax deductions or credits on their 2021 taxes, the tax returns they're filing this year. But those benefits have to be accounted for the right way. Here to walk us through it all is WSJ contributor Cheryl Winokur-Monk. Cheryl, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So Cheryl, there are some tax breaks associated with college expenses. They can potentially put a dent in people's tax bill. Do most people know about these?
I don't think people really know what they could be eligible for unless they're in that situation. And why would you, unless it's something you really closely follow? I mean, they have been highly publicized, but I don't know that people really pay attention. Like, some of these rules are just so complicated, like the maximums on what you have to make and those things like that. So even if you have some general idea that there are credits and deductions, I don't think that you know necessarily the specifics until you really look into it.
Okay, well, let's take a look at some of the specific tax breaks out there, and let's start with tax deductions. A lot of people haven't had to make student loan repayments since the early days of the pandemic, but many people have. How would they be eligible for a deduction?
So if you made these student loan repayments, you could be eligible if you, your spouse, or a dependent paid student loan interest last year. There are, however, some qualifications. So for instance, the filer's modified adjusted gross income has to be less than $85,000 or $170,000 if filing jointly. The other thing is if this also applies to private loans, so even if your federal loans were paused and you didn't make payments there, but you were making private loan payments, you could also be eligible for this deduction.
And now to get this deduction, does it matter if people itemized on the return?
It does not, which is actually a nice perk for many people.
Now, there are also two kinds of tax credits available. Can you tell us about those?
Sure. So the first one is called the American Opportunity Credit. That credit has a higher maximum, which is $2,500 per student, and it can only be claimed for 4 tax years for the same student. There are also some additional conditions, such as the requirement to be enrolled at least half-time in a degree program. But if you're eligible, that's probably the better credit or the more effective credit, I guess I'll say. It's just you can get more under IRS rules. The second credit is called the Lifetime Learning Credit. Now, that one is a little bit broader. So it can be claimed through grad school and for courses to acquire or improve job skills, but you're only going to get $2,000 per tax return. So it's not per student, it's per tax return for the Lifetime Learning Credit. The other thing that you have to really understand is that IRS rules only allow you to claim one of those credits per eligible student in the same tax year. So a lot of rules.
Yeah, a lot of rules. But is there a resource for people to find out if they qualify for either one?
So there's a great IRS publication that explains all the rules. If you're willing to wade through that, it does lay it out. And that's IRS publication 970, which they can find online. For claiming either of these credits, the American Opportunity or the Lifetime Learning Credits, that's going to be IRS Form 8863. And it takes you through what you need to do to be able to claim either credit. There are also some additional rules that you can't claim either credit if your modified adjusted gross income is $90,000 or more for a single filer or $180,000 or more for a joint filer.
Now, some people use distribution from a so-called 529 savings plan to pay for higher education expenses. Are there any tax benefits there?
There definitely can be. The distributions from 529 plans that aren't taxable when you use them to pay for qualified higher education expenses, but there are stipulations as to what constitutes qualified higher education expenses. And if you use these monies for non-qualified expenses, or you take too much in distributions, which are so more than your qualified expenses, you're going to have to be prepared to pay income tax and a 10% penalty.
So where's the line drawn as to what's a qualified expense and what isn't?
So again, there are rules on what constitutes a qualified expense. And when in doubt, always check the IRS rules for this, because you don't want to make mistakes, because that can be costly in terms of taxes. But generally speaking, qualified expenses include room and board and tuition. And a non-qualified expense would be something like travel.
Okay, now I want to talk about benefits some students get and how families need to work those into their tax return. If a student has gotten a scholarship, how does that need to be accounted for?
So that's actually a really frustrating point for some families, and they don't understand the scholarship rules. In many cases, institutional or private scholarships and grants aren't going to count as taxable income, but there are, again, stipulations. So the amount you receive has to be used to pay for tuition and fees required for enrollment or attendance, or for fees, books, supplies, equipment, etc. for your coursework. So if you're going to use that scholarship amount to pay for something such as room and board or travel or maybe optional equipment, that actually has to be included in your gross income. And there's an additional condition. A lot of people will be paid for teaching or research, and that's on condition of receiving a scholarship. But whatever pay you receive for the work you do generally has to be included in gross income. There are, again, certain exceptions. So, again, always check the rules, because these things are so complicated. You can't say, you know, in every case it's X, in every case it's Y. You really just have to check the rules.
Now, we've also seen some people's student loans forgiven over the past year. And no doubt that comes as a relief to people on the hook for the loan. But what's their tax responsibility in that situation?
So generally speaking, if your loan is canceled or repaid by someone else, the portion of that loan, it should be included in gross income. And that's what the IRS's general rules are. But there are exceptions, as with every rule. And under public service loan forgiveness program, student loan amounts forgiven aren't included in gross income. In 2021 and at least through 2025, borrowers who don't qualify for public service loan forgiveness get this reprieve from taxes on forgiven amounts. And that's all because of the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021. So that's going to help borrowers who have achieved or who will achieve forgiveness in these next few years under what's called an income-driven repayment plan. And an income-driven repayment plan is based on your income and family size. So one thing to know about that, there are actually efforts afoot to make this reprieve permanent. It's part of President Biden's recently unveiled tax plan. So we'll see where that goes.
Okay, now separate from that, the suspension of student loan repayments that was put in place in the early days of the pandemic, you know, for millions of people with federal loans, that's scheduled to expire in just a couple of weeks on May 1st. Any word of another extension on the way?
So there's definitely a lot of pressure on President Biden right now. Forgiveness advocates and some key Democrats really, really want this forgiveness, this broad forgiveness, and, well, number one, broad forgiveness, and they also want the pause to continue. And we've heard rumblings that another pause could be in the cards. The White House knows that student debt is a huge problem for many Americans and has taken some steps to eliminate some of the burden, but it really remains to be seen if another pause is going to be approved. But separately, there's the question of, should there be this mass forgiveness of loans that are already out there, federal loans that are already out there? Those are two separate questions, and that's something that the administration is still grappling with.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal contributor Cheryl Winokur-Monk. Cheryl, thank you so much for taking the time to chat.
Enjoyed it. Thanks.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
This episode is brought to you by Charles Schwab. Decisions made in Washington can affect your portfolio every day. But what policy changes should investors be watching? Washington Wise is an original podcast for investors from Charles Schwab that unpacks the stories making news in Washington and how they may affect your finances and portfolio. Listen at schwab.com/WashingtonWise.